Well, Happy New Year, everyone. Ready to enter into 2017 in a sprint or crawling on our knees. So I'm not going to have a message about the 15 New Year's resolutions that we need to make. You guys all happy with that? But the new year is always a great time to sort of do some reevaluating and thinking about some of the bigger issues in life. And so what I'd like us to do is to explore arguably the most significant question that any of us can ever ask. What on earth am I here for? Not here today. I mean, some of you may be thinking, what on earth am I here today for? It's like I could be doing something else. I'm sleeping or whatever. In other words, what is the purpose for my life? Young or old, this is a very, very relevant question that we don't just deal with once in our life and then sort of move on from there. One of the answers to that question, or the way it could be answered, is the title for my message here today. It's not about you. Now, some of you might want to like leave right now because like, wait a second, I want the purpose of my life to be about me. I know it's not supposed to be that way, but that's what I want. And Rick Warren, the pastor of and author of the most historically significant and famous purpose-driven life book, begins with those provocative words. It's not about you. It's not about me. Can I suggest that all of us need a regular reminder that the purpose and meaning for our life does not center around us? And that is a life-changing truth when we really spend some time reflecting on that. I mean, who's really going to stand up and in front of everybody and say, no, wait a second, the purpose of my life, it centers all around me. I mean, we're all here and but if we really look at our actions and the way we live our life, does it really reflect what we know to be true, this truth? And the two passages of scripture that we'll be exploring today, I believe, clearly communicate our Creator, the one who created us, his perspective on our purpose for living. And so in honor of God's word, I'm going to ask all of us to stand as I read the first passage, which is from Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 17. This is the message sort of paraphrased version, so we can hear these words a little bit different than maybe what we've heard them before. And so the Apostle Paul begins with these words. He says, "We look at this Son," referring to Jesus, "and see the God who cannot be seen. We look at the Son and see God's original purpose in everything created. For everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank after rank of angels, everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him. He was there before any of it came into existence and holds it all together right up to this moment." And then the Apostle Paul, in another letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 10:31, writes this. He says, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." Do it all for the glory of God. May those who have ears to hear the word of this morning. You may be seated. Amen. So why are we here? A dad and his 14-year-old son relying on their backs on the grass in the park next to their empty hamburger wrappers. Kind of get the scene. Just the two of them watching the clouds drifting overhead. The son says, "Dad, why are we here?" impressed by the mature question from his son, Dad knew he needed to provide an equally mature answer to that question. I've thought a lot about that question, son, and I don't think it's really all that complicated. I think maybe we're here just to teach a kid how to bunt a baseball or eat sunflower seeds without using his hands. We're here to pound the steering wheel and scream as we listen to the game on the radio 20 minutes after we pulled into the garage. We're here to wear our favorite sweat-soaked baseball cap and torn sweatshirt on a Saturday morning with nowhere to go and no one special to see. We're here to tie the perfect fly fishing lure, make the perfect cast, catch absolutely nothing, and still call it a perfect morning. We're here to hit a street sign with an apple core thrown from half a block away. We're here to win the stuffed bear at the fair or go broke trying. I don't think the meaning of life is gnashing our teeth over what comes after death, but tasting all the tiny moments that come before it. We're here to be there when our soccer-loving kid has 3 goals and an assist, and especially when he doesn't. I don't think we're here to make it on ESPN's Sports Center. The really good stuff never makes it on TV. Like finding ourselves with a free afternoon, a little red 1962 Corvette convertible and an unopened map of the country back roads. None of us will find ourselves on our deathbed saying, I wish I'd spend more time at work earning a paycheck. We're going to say, that scar right here, I got that scar stealing a home base during the softball championship game. You see, son, grown-ups spend too much time slaving toward the better car, the perfect house, the big day that will finally make them happy. Does that answer your question, son? Frustrated and a little confused, the son says, well, not really, Dad. And Dad says, no, I after all that, I didn't answer your question. And the son answers, well, no, what I meant was, why are we here when Mom said to pick her up 40 minutes ago? Why are we here? All of us have likely thought about this question a few times in our life, right? Sometimes the question leads us to falsely thinking that we're here, for example, to carry out various responsibilities in this life, such as raising our kids. Maybe that's why we're here. Or earning a paycheck. Maybe that's why we're here. Or taking care of others when they need to be picked up 40 minutes ago. As Christians, sometimes this question has rightfully led us and significantly led us to reorient our life towards God. And that's really important. We all tend to know, feel, and believe that we have this big hole in our soul that can only be filled with clear meaning and purpose for our life. There's a part of us that sort of already knows that. It's not earth-shattering news to think about that, right? But here's the deal. We have a challenge. We have a challenge, young or old. The challenge is that we tend to quickly lose sight of what is really driving us at any point in time, including today when we woke up. What's really driving us? Life's busyness tends to muddle our clarity of our life purpose. Even if we all sort of know, I know what my life purpose is. It's the busyness of life. It starts to muddy it. Muddies the clarity of that. And so we need a regular reminder from the one who made us, our creator, about why he created us, about why we are here, about why we are alive. And that leads us to the main idea that I'd like to share with us this morning, and it's this. You might want to write this down. This is what I'm driving home at today. asking why I'm alive today allows Jesus to remind us it's all for Him. And we know that, but we need the reminder. And how are we going to get that reminder unless we open ourselves to asking, why am I here today? In the first page of his book, Rick Warren elaborates on this idea when he writes this. This is a good way to open his book after he says, it's not about you. He says, the purpose of your life is far greater than your own personal fulfillment, your peace of mind, or even your happiness. It's far greater than your family, your career, or even your wildest dreams and ambitions. If you want to know why you were placed on this planet, you must begin with God. You were born by His purpose and for His purpose. And that is what God reminds us of very clearly in His Word. And so as we go back and we take a look at Colossians in chapter 1, and he's really wanting the believers there in Colossae to understand the significance of Jesus and how it relates to the purpose and the meaning for their life. And that's why he says, we look at the Son, Jesus, and see the God who cannot be seen. We look at the Son and we see God's original purpose in everything created. For everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank after rank of angels, everything got started in Him and finds its purpose in Him. He was there before any of it came into existence and holds it all together right up to this very moment, right here, right now, today. Notice in that passage, everything created, he talks about the angels, all these angels, rank after rank. Okay. Everything created, including us, is created with a purpose centered in God and displayed in Jesus the Son. Okay, well, that's maybe not really surprising, but I see two implications of that I find very interesting. First, notice, in our society where we love to go to Starbucks and we get to choose the 20 different elements of the drink that we want the barista to make, right? We love having the power of making those choices and those decisions. That's who we are as Westerners and Western civilization. We love to make choices for our lives. But notice in here, we don't get to choose the purpose for our life. Now that's probably the most important thing in our whole life. And you're telling me that we don't get to choose our purpose? Our Creator decided our purpose, notice, before we were even born. Our purpose was chosen. He allows us the freedom to choose our career, our spouse, our hobbies, the type of drink we're going to have at Starbucks. But we don't get to choose our purpose. Now, for those of us that have been Christians for a while, have read the Bible for a while, we go, well, okay, that's not really new information, but it's pretty radical. Because we live in a world that says, you get to choose your purpose. You get to choose it. I was going to share about, if you just Google how to find the purpose for your life, there's all sorts of articles about the process for how to go about doing that. So somehow it's a choice that we get to make. This is radical information. The other implication I see from this passage is that our purpose is not found in ourselves or other people or by going on some meditative discovery out in the middle of the desert or something like that. We won't gain greater insight into why we are alive by sort of this self-examination of our thoughts, our feelings, or our desires, or going through some process like that. No, the inspired words from the Apostle Paul tells us that when we look at Jesus, we will see God's original purpose in everything created. So simple and yet so profound and radical, isn't it? And so when we allow life's hurts or desires or activities to take our eyes off of Jesus. And that happens to all of us, right? We're all in the same boat, this together, to one degree or another. We easily lose our bearings, our clarity about why we're alive today. And that's pretty significant. And that is why I believe we need this constant reminder. The meaning for our life is found in Christ alone. And I believe the essence of why we're alive today is best expressed in the other scripture that I'm sharing with us today. And this scripture has become my life verse really because of how I came to know Jesus. 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, that kind of covers all the categories, right? Do it all for the glory of God. Do it all for the glory of God. That sounds pretty lofty, but if we really think about it, it has a lot of very practical implications to our life. Every detail and activity of our life is intended for one primary goal and purpose: to glorify God. It's all for Him, as Pastor Rick writes in his book. The ultimate goal of the universe, the ultimate goal for us, the ultimate purpose for us is to show the glory of God. God made everything for His glory. It's all for Him. It's all about Him. Now, again, that could be very abstract. And so I think for us to have a better understanding of how to bring glory to God, I think it's helpful to better understand from a biblical perspective what glory is. We use that, throw that word out quite a bit. In the Bible, the word glory has, just in and of itself, has several different meanings associated with it depending upon how it's used. And I think it gives us some insight about what it means for our life to glorify God. The first meaning of glory is this idea of light, right? Light reveals what was hidden. Something's hidden, you turn on the light, it's exposed. To glorify God is to reveal God so others can know Him. Think about that. The opposite is to hide God's glory. Really, is that possible to hide God's glory? Well, in a sense, it is. That's the ultimate consequence of sin. Have you ever thought about that? Think about sin as being a bunch of rules and regulations and do this and don't that, don't do that. And all sin at its very core is a failure to give God glory. Ever thought about that? In other words, to keep it hidden. That's at its very core what sin is. And in fact, there's a verse that many of us are familiar with, Romans chapter 3, right? All have sinned and what? Come short of the glory of God. I knew I could count on Vern, if nobody else, to be able to finish that. I was not worried. As long as I knew Vern was here, we'd be able to complete that verse. Fall short of the glory of God. Keeping it hidden in some degree, right? Another meaning of glory that's used in the Bible is this idea of beauty. That makes sense, right? To glorify God is to make Him beautiful, desirable, attractive in the eyes of other people. Our purpose is to make God look good. Another meaning of the word glory is this idea of majesty. To glorify God is to show others that we recognize God as our majestic Lord and King. To live in such a way where the world can see that. It's to make people aware of His awesome power and majesty. That's what it means to glorify God. And the last idea that I want to share with us, and the meaning of glory, is this idea of honor. Something we've kind of lost in our culture, right? Honor. To glorify God is to show how much we value Him. How much we value Him. That we value Him above everything else. And worship, we talk about worship, is sort of this outward expression of the value that we have towards God. And so if we're not worshiping authentically, there's a sense in which we're not really honoring God, are we? When we glorify God, we're showing what His character is like by modeling it for others. And as the scripture said, in everything and in whatever we do. The day that I decided to follow Jesus, 28 years ago now, I was wrestling, which is sort of a unique path people take to Jesus, but I was wrestling with this very specific truth. As a young 25-year-old man who was not raised in the church in any way, never went to church, wasn't raised in any faith one way or another, I began asking this all-important question. Why am I here? What is my life all about? And it wasn't because my life was falling apart or anything like that, but I think God creates that vacuum in all of us that invites us to ask those questions. So after spending about a year exploring a variety of faiths and spiritual writings, I began to fall in love with this God named Jesus who was willing to die for me on a cross. I was falling in love with this God that I was discovering as I was trying to discover what the purpose for my life was and looking at different faiths. I began that journey as a man living for himself, as we all do. A man with sort of almost this unsettling anxiety that I was missing something vital in my life. But on that day that I chose to follow Jesus, I found myself with an unexpected, and it was completely unexpected, desire to turn my life focus from myself to God. That's a pretty radical transformation that any of us can go, that we can go through. The Lord had graciously answered my prayer and helped me to recognize that I was alive to bring glory to my Creator. There's a lot of details I've left out about that. And so this is a subject that I'm very passionate about and I love teaching about because I need the reminder just like the rest of us need the reminder because we lose clarity. Yeah, at that point I had deep clarity about my life purpose. And it is part of my life in varying degrees every day. But it is the distractions of life and my inherent desire to live for myself, to have it all be about me, that causes me to lose that clarity of purpose. Because you see, this purpose is the definition of 180 degrees opposite, right? Of how we're constantly drawn back to being all about us. And the purpose for our life is just the opposite of that. That's where freedom in life is. Does that happen to you? Losing that clarity? Maybe just a little bit? And so I need to regularly ask, why am I alive today? So that Jesus can remind me that it is all for Him. It's all for Him. And that really is what this sermon series is all about. A way for our Creator to share with us and to remind us why He made us and how to live that out. The purpose-driven life has, as many of us know, become uniquely popular with Christians and non-Christians alike. It is, I understand, the best-selling hardcover book ever. And I think partly that's because Pastor Rick, who I've followed for many years, even before he was well-known with the purpose-driven book, he's really gifted at communicating profound truths in a way that really pretty much anybody can understand easily and apply to their life. That's one of the things he's really great at. Sometimes people accuse him of being oversimplifying things. But there's some truth into taking things that are abstract and profound and making it in a way where everybody can actually understand it and apply it to their life. And one of those unlikely people that was touched by this gift, this book, and Pastor Rick, is a once obscure woman that some of us may know of by the name of Ashley Smith. Some of us are probably aware of her extraordinary story and her experience with the Purpose Driven Life book. And so as we watch a video I have for us that captures her powerful story, notice not only the value of the book itself, the Purpose Driven Life book, but also notice the life-changing impact of knowing God's purpose for your life. It's truly radical. Let's take a look.
After smashing publishing records around the world, in 2002, The Purpose Driven Life made headlines again. You may remember this. 3 years later, with a life and death drama that played out on national television. Remember this? Take a look.
In 2005, suspected rapist Brian Nichols shot 4 people point blank while escaping an Atlanta courthouse. After the shooting spree, Nichols led authorities on an all-out manhunt. Ashley Smith, a single mother with no knowledge of what was going on in the area, arrived at home and came face to face with the armed killer. According to Ashley, Nichols ambushed her and forced his way into Ashley's home, holding her hostage at gunpoint for 7 hours. Looking for any way to stay alive, Ashley, who'd been struggling with addiction, started reading aloud from the book that she kept at her bedside, The Purpose-Driven Life by Pastor Rick Warren. A few months later, I talked to Ashley about that terrifying moment.
Now, we've all heard that he either saw The Purpose-Driven Life, that book, mm-hmm. or you started reading to him. How did that come about?
I asked him if I could read. And he said, sure, what do you want to read? I went to my room and grabbed my book.
Where were you in it?
I was...
Which day?
Chapter 32. Uh-huh. And I just began to read the whole front page to him.
Read to us some of what you read.
Using what God gave you, what you are is God's gift to you. What you do with yourself is your gift to God. God deserves your best. He shaped you for a purpose and expects you to make the most of what you've been given.
And then he asked you what you thought your purpose is.
Yes.
And what did you say?
I said, my purpose is to serve others. Then he asked me what I thought his purpose was. And I told him he needed to go to jail and pay for what he did. But maybe it was to help other people in jail and to minister to them.
So by reading The Purpose-Driven Life, Ashley diffused the situation, and Brian eventually surrendered to the police. Now, Brian Nichols is now serving multiple life sentences without parole. We wanted to find out how Ashley is doing today, 7 years later. She's Skyping in from her home in Augusta, Georgia. So, okay, hi. Hi again.
Ashley.
Hi, Ashley. You're someone who can actually say that The Purpose-Driven Life really changed your life.
Yes, it really did change my life. You know, at that time in my life, it was really down in the dumps, and that was a really life-changing experience for me because truly, of all the people that had a role in that day, of all the people that could have lost their lives, I was the one that probably should have. And, you know, instead of me losing my life, here I was, the lonely, widowed, drug addict mom who deserved death. But God gave me a brand new life, one that I could never, ever imagine as a result of just giving my life to him. And through that, I've tried to do better since then.
Wow. And so your moment, that moment for you, that moment for you changed you as well as the perpetrator.
Absolutely. I realized actually the next morning when Brian Nichols let me go free that God really did have a bigger plan for my life, and it was something that I couldn't imagine, but he has played it out through the last 7 years of my life and in a life, like I said, that has been unimaginable.
Wonderful to check in with you. I'm so glad life is still going so well for you. Thank you, Ashley. Thank you so much.
Truly amazing. And it's a great reminder about how our life can get back on track as we spend time reflecting on why are we here? Why are we here? Here's a woman, it's sort of an extreme example, a movie who's actually, some of you may know, was actually made about her in this story, who was one of the least likely people to be thinking about. I mean, here she's consumed by drugs, which is usually an indicator of trying to numb pain and being totally focused on what are all the problems in my life. And to really be reflecting on the purpose for why she was created, which is to not be focused on herself, but to be focused on the God and the Creator who made her. It's amazing how that transforms our life. The remaining 5 weeks of our sermon series will follow sort of the five ways, or Pastor Rick calls them the five purposes, of how we go about bringing glory to God. And he organizes them in these five key ways. And so I'd like to just give us a very brief summary so you kind of get the overview of what this is going to be about. First, he says we bring glory to God by worshiping him. By worshiping him. And so worship is far more than just praising or singing. Worship is a lifestyle of enjoying God. And when our life is focused on glorifying God, everything we can do can become an act of worship. Because that's what we're made for, to exalt God. And then he talks about we bring glory to God by loving other believers. And each of these points will be an entire sermon over the next 5 weeks. When we decided to follow Christ, we become part of God's family. Some of us think in the Western society that we accept Christ and then we go off and we go do our own thing with Jesus. But no, we become part of God's family. And so following Christ is not just about believing, it's also about belonging and being a part of God's family, loving others. Jesus said, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples." How will they know that you are my disciples? Vern, if you love one another, right? Amen. And then Pastor Rick says we bring glory to God by becoming like Christ. God does not want us to remain stagnant as though somehow we've arrived or there's nothing else for us to learn about Christ. God calls us to grow in spiritual maturity. And the more our lives look like Jesus, the more God's glory is revealed to the world. And that's the purpose for our life. And then he says we bring glory to God by serving others with our gifts. Each of us is uniquely designed by God with talents, gifts, skills, and abilities. And all these were given to benefit other people and to display and to reveal and to shed light on God's glory. And then the last one, we bring glory to God by telling others about him. God doesn't want his love and purposes kept a secret. He doesn't want them kept hidden. And as we learn about and gain new insights into why we're created, God has this very clear expectation that we will share those life-changing truths with others so that people like Ashley Smith can live life in the way that she was created. The popularity of this book, The Purpose-Driven Life, reveals how desperate people are to know the purpose for their life. And that's why I'm suggesting asking why I'm alive today allows Jesus to remind us it's all for him. I'm going to ask Erwin if you would come on up, if I share just a couple of concluding thoughts. I thought it would be helpful for us to listen to some of the other ways in God's Word that our Creator has expressed our purpose, to listen to some scriptures that emphasize what we've been talking about here today. The first one I'd like to share is from Isaiah 43, verses 6 through 7. It says, "Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, everyone in this room, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made." And then this verse here from Romans chapter 6, verse 13. "Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. So, use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right." For what? The glory of God. The glory of God. And then Romans chapter 11, verse 36, the Apostle Paul writes this, "For everything comes from him and exists by his power and is intended for his glory. All glory to him forever. Amen." And then the last one I'd like to share with us here is from Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. "You are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and they exist because you created what you pleased." Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for this reminder today of our purpose and why you created us. And that our life is not fulfilled when we are living life centered around ourselves, trying to exalt ourselves, trying to impress other people, trying to make ourselves look good. That's sin, and that hides your glory. That hides who you are. Thank you for that reminder, Lord. And would you help each of us here today to wipe out the mud from our eyes that might be giving us a lack of clarity about why I'm alive today, why I'm going to be alive this week. Would you help us to live life knowing that in everything we do, it is all for you. It is all to exalt you. It is all for your glory. It is all to display your beauty and your majesty. And may that be what drives everything that we do in our life. Would you help us to do that, Lord, because we need your help. Left to our own devices, we try to exalt ourselves. And we pray all of this in the name that is above every other name, the name that is to be glorified through all eternity, the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.